Hey, this is Tony with the Grounded Podcast, and I just wanted to clear something up a little bit here. There was a moment, a few seconds in the episode, where I said that the distance between Seattle and Miami, Florida, is about a little less shy than 4,000 miles. But in reality, the I misspoke during that point in the podcast, and it's actually closer to 3,400 miles. So I just wanted to clear that up. And as with everything in the Grounded Podcast, I like to make sure that all the information is 100% correct, and any information that I'm putting out there is 100% true, accurate, and scientifically backed up as far as I can determine through extensive research and just many other means of making sure that this information is going out in the proper manner. So I just wanted to just clear that up just briefly. So this is a slight disclaimer for the episode. So whenever you hear that, just disregard less than 4,000 miles to roughly about a little less than 3,400 miles between Seattle, Washington, and Miami, Florida. All right, enjoy the show. Hey, this is Tony with the Grounded Podcast, and today I am talking about reasons to eat in a seasonable way, or to eat with the seasons. So there are a number of reasons why I say we probably should, or we definitely should, eat in season. And there are so many benefits to eating in this way. One of the reasons that I found to be one of the top reasons to eat with the seasons is the freshness, taste, and the nutrient denseness. Is that a word? I just made it a word. It's a word. In all of your produce that you have that's coming out of your garden, your homestead, farm, whatever it is, small scale that you're doing, it really, the freshness is just incomparable to anything else. It goes straight from your garden into your kitchen into you. And literally the time it takes is literally moments, versus even when you're going to the farmer's market, which we love to support, especially our CSAs, you have at least with that, even with that, you have maybe a day or two at the most. But when you have when you're picking from your home garden, it is just one of the best experiences that you can have with freshness. And you know, you have a few moments, literally up to an hour, if that, to go straight from your garden to having to actually eating the food. It's at the peak of its freshness at that point. And then you have the aspect of taste. There is nothing, there's nothing that tastes better than a sun-kissed tomato. And if you've ever tasted a tomato that comes from the grocery store, from the produce section of the grocery store, you know that those are tasteless, bland things that they're not appealing at all. And that's why you have some children that have grown up during a certain era, they don't like certain vegetables or fruit, even for that matter, because they have this idea of this tasteless thing that there's very little variety of in the stores. And we're going to get back to variety here in a moment. But there's just the taste of, there's just such a complexity in the taste and everything that you're getting out of the stores. I mean, just having a fresh red tomato that's been out in the sun that's slightly warm, and you can take that in and you can eat that fresh from the vine, or you can slice it. I mean, just so many different things you can do with that. And I'm just using the tomato just as one example. We're not going to even get into all of the different other things like cucumbers that are, even though they're like 90% water, they have so much flavor and taste within them. And then to move on to the nutrient denseness that's in all of these fruit and vegetables, it's at the very peak. Because once you pick something from a vine, it automatically it starts to go down and diminish in the nutrient denseness that's within it, right? So as soon as we, you know, pick, we're taking it right into the kitchen wherever we are, and we're consuming that. We're getting the most nutrients from that we can possibly get, which is better for us. And when you're in the grocery store, some of that stuff, like prime example, the tomatoes, it may have been picked probably up to almost 30 days before, and they're usually picked green, so they don't get that full flavor like we were talking about, the taste. They don't get that full flavor, so that's why they have that that almost cardboard wood, you know, wooden bland flavor, because you're basically eating something that's unripened. But they put them, some of those, they put them into a truck or an area where they have these gases that come out, and they make them actually turn red to mimic ripeness when they aren't ripe at all. And that's just one of the many things that, you know, when you're going to a grocery store and you won't find the nutritional value, you won't find the taste, and you definitely won't have the freshness as something. So this is a number one reason why you really want to grow your own at least fruits and vegetables at the very least. Okay, so one of the another area is that you have less or no chemicals, right? So you can build your own bed, you can build your own soil, you aren't spraying. And if you're using a method like a permaculture gardening, where everything is working in tandem, nature is working in tandem together, creating a food forest where things naturally, the strongest of whatever you're growing is, you know, it starts to take over and it becomes a better way of eating. And when I say less, if you're growing in an area where you don't necessarily have all of these pesticides, like if you're in an urban area and you're building your own raised beds, you're bringing in your own soil, you're building up your own soil, you're using compost, you're doing all these methods to help and ensure that you have the nutrient denseness, like I was saying. I don't know if it's a word. I'm gonna see if it's a word. I just made it a word. It's officially a word now. But it's just really, really comforting to know that you're not dealing with all of these chemicals and all of these GMO processed things out there, like the seeds that Monsanto is constantly flooding all of the market with. And even if you're not consuming GMO seeds, the produce within the stores, they have a lot of the products that are really on the shelves. Like there are 10 companies that own just about everything you'll find on the grocery shelves, and that's just one of the many ideas and examples of just us growing our own food and being not dependent on these large corporations. But I'm not going to dive into that because that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast episode, which I will get into later. Okay, so produce is cheaper. This is another reason. When it's in season, it is so much cheaper. Why? Because it's in season. There's a wide variety of not just the fruits and the vegetables, but just everything else that is in season during that time. So it's at the peak of its freshness, taste, nutrient denseness. It's just overall better because that's the season it's growing in. It doesn't have to be shipped from this place to that place. And it's just so much cheaper overall for you. And you're helping to support local farmers, which is the next area of you know, one of the reasons to eat in a seasonable way. And when we're supporting our local farmers, we're not having this stuff transported back and forth. We have a relationship with our farmers. You know, whether if you're going into a CSA or whatever the reason may be, this is just one of the best areas and aspects that we can really benefit from, and our local farmers benefit from also. Now, this also, to piggyback on what I was talking about, which it helps to fight against climate change. And this is really, really an important thing, because when we're not having this stuff transported across country or even across state, it becomes so much more doable. It's supporting the local farmers. Gas emissions go down because we don't have all these, you know, thousands of trucks constantly going across the country, you know, from, say, from California to Georgia, or from whatever state you're in. I mean, I've, you know, heard of some things going as far as from Seattle, Washington, all the way to Miami, Florida, which is possibly the furthest from each other you can possibly be, and be on the same continent. I mean, just to think about that, just how far that distance is roughly a little over 4,000 plus miles. Just imagine that. That's the same distance between the state of Georgia all the way to London in England. Just a little bit shy of that. I think it's a little further, about 5,000 miles from that area, but that's just to give you just the context and just how far this stuff is actually going. And if you have a truck that's traveling that far back and forth, that's a whole lot of gas emissions coming out. And as we saw with the transportation of all goods pretty much coming to a halt in 2020 at the height of the pandemic, from April to about the beginning of July, it was just a few months where there was not a lot of anything going out. Streets were basically empty in most of the larger cities. And with that, we saw these examples of the gas emissions in all these cities that were highly polluted. It all of a sudden, the skies were clear. The gas emissions had come down. Pollution was actually pulling back. Now just imagine if we all did this on a larger scale for several years, how much we can undo a lot of the damage that we've inadvertently done by having these large transports of things. This is a huge example. I mean, if you look at those pictures, I'm going to put those pictures up on the website here, and that's actually something that's really, really happening, and we're going to get into full swing is the postings on the Grounded podcast website. But with all that being said, it's just amazing and astonishing to see what was done in just a short period of time, and what we can actually do if we start implementing a lot of these things now and start undoing a lot of this, you know, with the flights being grounded. I mean, it was a combination of flights, trucks, just less cars on the road, just all of these three different things. These changed a lot, and it wasn't as much farming with cows, because they put out a lot of the emissions also, you know, from a different area of their body. But yeah, just all of that just came to a screeching halt. So that it helps to fight against the climate change problem that we have now. And then there's the fight against monocultures, right? So that's basically where we have these huge corporations, like, once again, I'm naming Monsanto. They come in, and all these corporations, they use just one crop. They'll plant either one crop here, one crop all across the middle of the United States. And that's where a lot of the emissions is coming from, because they'll plant either all corn, or they'll plant all cotton, soybeans, all of these different things. And there's no diversity. And when you do that, it just fights against what nature is really intending and trying to do. And because in nature, you don't see monocultures. You see polycultures, which it also helps to support polycultures, because everyone is growing different varieties within their I like to do a lot of the permaculture gardening, where everything is working together. I use certain things to support something else, and that's basically mimicking nature. And a food forest is also basically mimicking the forest and in nature itself. So this is really important. Polycultures are really, really important to really get that diversity into your backyards, spreading that out into the farms. And this is a really great thing that we can do to help this polyculture culture catch on, which is to eat in a seasonable way with the seasons. So the last area I want to talk about and really cover is the varieties. When you grow in season, you and you're growing your own produce, and you can have so many different varieties. I have included, probably over the last 2 years, over probably about 70 to 80 new and different ingredients, whether it was getting seeds, because you can get these different varieties of seeds, like the black tomato, the black beauty tomato, purple. I've been planting a lot of darker hued vegetables, whether it's squash or like I said, tomato, or whatever it is. You know, you can find so many different types of varieties of tomatoes, which you won't find. And then you can save the seeds from those, and then they become heirloom, and you can pass those down, and we can continue that trend. So that is just a wonderful, a beautiful thing that we can do, and to have all these different tastes and flavors of heirloom vegetables. And this is another reason that we probably should eat in a seasonable way, eat with the seasons, because we can have a bigger variety from year to year. We can have different things. I don't think I've, other than some favorites of mine, probably four or five favorites of mine within my home garden, I haven't planted some of the same things. Like this year, I'm planting two new varieties of okra. Last year, I planted two other new varieties of okra. So in the last 2 years, I planted four new varieties of okra that some have been lost and some that have come back. And two of them are African varieties that were thought to be, you know, lost, but now they're back. And with these different varieties, they grow so much taller, bigger, they're stronger, and you can eat with these particular varieties of okra. You can eat the leaves and everything that can be made into stew. Some of the leaves taste like spinach. You just have so many different varieties that you can choose from, and it's just so wonderful to sit down and actually be able to have this to have this choice that you won't see and you won't get in the grocery stores. So I just love really trying to get to the point to where I'm encouraging everyone to eat in a seasonable way. And if you can't grow your own fruits and vegetables now, I would say support your local farmers market. Go out and even in not just with their produce, but with all of their goods. There's so many wonderful things that can be sourced from these particular markets. You can have bread, meats, honey, just a whole variety. It's little small homemade things like soap, all kinds of different things, and just walk around, just have a good time, just being outside, and that contributes to a overall happier ecosystem, and it helps your local farmers, and it helps them to get strong and to fight against these big ag factory farms that we see that are pretty much dominated the United States, at least within the last 60 years or more. But anyway, that is some of the reasons I think we should all eat in a more seasonable way, and we should eat with these seasons. Well, I will see you guys on the next episode of Grounded. Bye-bye.